Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we do believe, Lord, that you are here.
Amen.
And yet all the things that the world would offer to us, none of them tells us that you're here. All the information we receive from the media, nothing of it tells that you are here. All the expectations we have in life, in the things that we do, the things that we receive as gifts and receive as occupations and those things, Father, none of them tell us of your presence. But Father, we do pray that in our soul, Lord, we might know without one shadow of doubt, truly you have come in this hour. And Lord, we reckon that one of these days your holy presence will leave this earth. We're asking, Father, that we could be with you at always. As you said, I'll always be with you, never leave you nor forsake you. May that promise, Father, be confirmed in our soul, in our heart, that when you do leave the earth, we'll leave with you. And now, Father, we just commit ourselves to the understanding of you and who you are and who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, we'll just take a short study of paragraph 68 of the Masterpiece, where Brother Ram says, "And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was hewed out and reflected what the Word was at the beginning. Him, the Word, reflected in the Masterpiece in his own likeness. God back again in his own likeness. The Word form being reflected in the image of a man. The Masterpiece. All the prophets had flaws. All the ones was a portion. But here at last, coming up through that finally, comes the Masterpiece, the perfect one. No fault in him at all. So perfect, reflected of the builder himself, his own image was reflected in his work. God and Christ were one, insomuch until he put his own spirit into him, and then even the image and the builder became one. God and his sculpture work, his masterpiece, where Moses was in the work of Michelangelo, a sculpture work that was dead because it had been made out of stone. But here the master builder, when he got his handiwork perfected, he stepped into it." Notice that Brother Branham begins by quoting John 1 and 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And then he lets us know that God, who is the Word, was reflected in the masterpiece of his own likeness. God back again in his own likeness, he said. Now, he's not talking about God touching someone's heart. He's not talking about God being in the thoughts of someone. But he's speaking of the very person of God coming into that masterpiece after he had perfected that masterpiece, the body of his son Jesus. Then he says God and Christ were one, insomuch until he put his own spirit into him. And then another thought he lays out in this paragraph is, here the master builder, when he got his handiwork perfected, he stepped into it. So in this paragraph we're seeing a very different teaching on the Godhead than what the oneness or Unitarian believed. Brother Branham was not saying that God was his own masterpiece, but that Christ, the Son of God, was the masterpiece of God. And that when God got his handiwork, in other words, he's saying when God got his masterpiece perfected, he stepped into it. So he's not saying that God was his own masterpiece, but rather that Christ, or rather Jesus, the Son of God, when he became perfect, God stepped into that masterpiece. Now let's take these three thoughts here and we'll take them back to the scripture for just a moment, where Brother Branham is coming, or where he's coming from concerning what he's saying here. Now in reading paragraph 69, Brother Branham says, "And when in the beginning, and then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now we know that that's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then Brother Branham skips to John 1:14. "And the Word was hewed out, and the Word was made flesh." He says, "And the Word was hewed out and reflected, that Word was at the beginning." John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now notice carefully to the wording that Brother Branham chose here. He says, "And the Word was hewed out." The Word was hewed out. Now you and I can be hewed out. Sometimes we say we're reamed out. We got reamed. But it says the Word was hewed out and reflected what the Word was at the beginning. Now, if the Word itself, God Himself, was hewed out, then why would He say, "And it reflected the Word that was at the beginning"? So this Word that could be hewed out reflected the Word which was at the beginning. So He's talking about the Word hewing out the masterpiece until that masterpiece reflected the Word, which is God Himself as He was at the beginning. That is what we read in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And that is what Brother Branham was telling us. That is the past. God spoke to men in the past. And Brother Branham said those men He spoke to were flawed. Or God spoke through. Those men that God spoke through were flawed. Well, that's pretty interesting, because I've never met a preacher who isn't flawed, including myself. I've never met a true fivefold minister that was perfect. I've never met a prophet of God or heard a prophet of God or read of a prophet of God that didn't have some flaws. How much more the fivefold? How much more the people? And yet, God, who at various times and in many different ways He spake in times past unto the fathers by and through the prophets, these flawed men. Why do you think people have a difficulty with so many portions of the Scripture? Why do you think people have so much difficulty with the vessels that God uses to bring His message through? Think about that. Because if you weren't ordained to receive the truth, that vessel is going to stumble you all the way. That vessel is going to put your eyes looking somewhere else. Notice then, He hath in these last days, in the past He spoke through flawed men, but in these last days He's spoken unto us through His Son, the perfect one, whom He, God, hath appointed heir, appointed who to be heir? The Son of God, to be heir of all things, by whom, or shall we say, while in whom also He, God, did make the worlds. So we see here that God made the worlds by and through the agency of His Son Jesus. Now this is no different from Brother Branham speaking and the squirrels coming into a manifestation. Brother Branham no more created the squirrels on His own than did Jesus Christ create the worlds by His own power. Jesus Himself said, "The Son can of Himself do nothing. Whatsoever He seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise." Therefore, it was the Father doing the creating, and the Son of God was the agency by which and for which God did create all things. And the Father created the squirrels through the agency of another son, William Branham. And God gives life breathing word to the reflection of His children. Brother Ram talks in many places. He talks about how the bride is a type of the moon is a type of the bride. In the absence of the sun, the light comes from the moon. And in the absence of the Son of God, He's not here, brother, sister. And the one who is here is invisible, so no one can tell. And yet there's a people that are reflecting that light of the one who's here in the absence of the sun. That the only glimpse of eternal life is through God's kids. Now I'm getting back to Hebrews 1 and 3. Who, that's the Son of God, being in the brightness of His, the Father's glory, and the expressed image of His, the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of His, the Father's power, when He, the Son of God, had by Himself purged our sins, He, the Son of God, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's God. Notice, He by Himself purged our sins by one sacrifice. One sacrifice. It wasn't the sacrifice of God. It was a sacrifice of the Son of God. Now in Hebrews 1 and 3 it calls Jesus the Son of God. It calls Him the expressed image. Now the word express there involves the two ideas of representation and manifestation. The Weeks translation says, in these last days He spoke to us, one who by nature is His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He constituted the ages, who being the outraying, the very effulgence of His glory, and the exact reproduction of His essence. The diaglot says, who being in the effulgence of His glory, and an exact impress of His substance. Now what does the word impress sound like to you? Sarah? Impress. 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 Or impress. Seal? Okay, that's an impress, yeah.
We used to have butter molds, and you would press the butter down and it would impress a design or something like that.
Okay, so it would be, in other words, if you had a butter mold, which is making a copy, if you had a butter mold of a butterfly, and you push it into the butter.
Image.
Right. What are you going to get? Are you going to get a giraffe? Going to get a cow? Dumbo? You're going to get a butterfly. So if He was the impress of the Father's image, the very image, the very copy, the very mold, if you want to call it that. The NIV says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The Amplified says, He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine, and He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. What does it mean, the outraying? Outraying. What does that conjure up in your mind? Yeah. What is that point? In the beginning was what?
The word.
Therefore, He was the outraying of the Word. And if we are to come into the image of the Son of God, then the outraying or the expression or the manifestation, the icon of you, I mean, not of you, but that you are expressing or manifesting. What does that mean? That means that has to have a focus point, and then it comes out forth from that focus point. In other words, it all has got to come back to in the beginning. And in the beginning was what? The Word. So if we have any place in our life that does not come back to the beginning, that's where we need to get our focus in line. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. Another translation says, He is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of His nature. So we see here that Jesus is the very imprint of the Father, the very marked out one, in whom God set forth as His mark of representation, and actually the very manifestation of the Father. And yet this scripture speaks of two and not one. It says He was the imprint of the Father. He was the outraying of the Father. He was the very expressed nature of the Father. The Father being the starting point. The Father being the beginning. And He being that which continues on the nature of the Father. Continues on the expression of the Father. Continues on the character of the Father. Continues on the characteristics, the dynamism, the life, the effulgence of the Father. John tells us in 1 John 1, if you turn with me in your Bibles, and reading 1 John 1, and reading from verse 1, that which was from the beginning. Well, what was from the beginning? The Word. God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What do you hear? Word. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life. Only one kind of life, Brother Brown said, God life, which was with the Father, but it was manifested unto us through another. That which we've seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The life was manifested, and we've seen and we know because of what we've seen. Life itself is not visible. Life is spirit. Yet the very essence and nature of life is that it has many qualities and characteristics, which Brother Branham called attributes. And these attributes, by their very nature, are to become expressed. A rose without its beauty and fragrance would not be a rose. So therefore, every life has attributes that are visibly and materially displayed to our senses in order that we might better understand what the nature of that life is. If I have you put your hand in a box, and in that box you're going to feel something, and so you put your hand in a box, you can't see what it is, can't hear it, but you reach in there and you feel something very soft, very thin. And there's, around the edges of this thing, there's lots of these little soft and things. And you reach in, you pull one off. And as you're feeling this thing, you know it's got a little bit of depth to it, but not much. thicker than paper, but yet you can press on it and it compresses. You can even feel like when you press on it, there's something of a chemical substance coming off onto your fingers. You don't know what it is. You can't see it. You can't taste it. You can't hear it. But then when you pull your hand out of that box and you smell it, and you smell a fragrance, sweet fragrance. Now, if you know your flowers, you'll know what kind of flower that you just felt its petals, whether it's a rose or whether it's daffodil. By feeling around, you might feel the texture and how round it is or how straight up and down it is. But then adding to that the smell. So what you have done by just isolating only one or two of your five senses, you've been able to identify the life that's in that box. You see, without identifiable characteristics, you would never be able to know what life or what the nature of that life is. So the very nature of the life is expressed through what you can see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Therefore, if we are to come into the image of Jesus Christ, God's perfect one, you will be able to hear. You will be able to see. You will be able to, in a sense, feel that that person is a Christian. There's got to be something express itself if it has life. If there's no expression, then it's dead. It's not living. So a rose with all its beauty and all its fragrance would not be a rose without its beauty, without its fragrance, and without its pricky nature. So therefore, every life has attributes that are visibly and materially displayed to our senses in order that we might better understand what that nature of that life is. And so God had, by the very law of expression, he had to materialize in order to express himself. You cannot remain hidden and be expressed at the same time. You cannot become or fulfill yourself and remain invisible either. Jesus' own brother said, "Why don't you come up with us to the feast?" He said, "No, I'm not going to go." They said, "If you are who you say you are, certainly you've got to manifest yourself before men." So to express oneself, you must show or make visible that expression. The invisible and the intrinsic qualities becoming openly displayed. A coming out, a bringing forth into manifestation. Colossians 1 and verse 15 to 19 says, "The very image of the Father in whom all the Godhead dwells." Let's just turn to it. Colossians 1 verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The very image of the Father in whom all the fullness dwells. Paul says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Where did he get it from? Where did he get it from? Remember, we're talking about the outraying. Therefore, there had to be something to begin. There had to be a beginning. There had to be a source. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 16 and verse 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Or as Brother Bram said, the right translation is, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. In whom I am well pleased. In whom? Who's talking? God the Father's talking. Who's the in? Who's he in? The other one. The Son. From the Godhead explained, Brother Bram said, the Spirit of God like a dove descended and a voice from heaven which was above him, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. Really, the right translation, they got the verb before the adverb, like all the foreigner is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Or, whom I am pleased to dwell. In whom I am pleased to dwell. In whom I am pleased to dwell. That was God coming into Jesus, and in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And there's your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 then. And beginning of verse 18. But we all with an open face, no traditions. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We're looking into a mirror. No veil upon it. Upon us. He says, we're changed into the same image. Remember, we're looking at the glory of the Lord, and we're being changed into the image of the glory of the Lord. And we're changed from image to image and from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Brother Bram said, the reason you can see this is because you are ordained to see it. He said, and the reason they can't see this is because they were not ordained to see it. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm getting back to the masterpiece. What Brother Bram was saying here. Him, the Word, reflected in the masterpiece. So who is doing the reflecting? God is doing the reflecting. In whom is God reflecting? In the masterpiece? In sons and daughters of God. Then if you don't see the image of the Son of God in your life? What have you done to shut off the light of His glorious presence? You see, if I take a mirror, we have a picture here, but no mirror. Can you see yourself in the, Ron, can you see yourself in that picture? Stand up and a little closer. Okay. Then, Brother Enoch, would you shut the lights off for just a moment? Okay, Sarah, would you shut off this light here for just a moment? Brother Miguel, would you close that door back there for just a moment? Okay, Brother Ron, stand up if you would. Put your face about, well, stand, walk about 3 or 4 steps. I can see you, so. Okay, stand right there. Now, look as close. Can you see yourself in that? Huh? Okay. Now, Brother Miguel, would you open that door just a crack, just a little bit? Okay, can you see anything yet? Okay, open it up. Open up a little more. Open the door a little more. Okay, now Sarah, turn on the light in the kitchen. Okay, now turn on the lights over here.
I see a little bit. Yeah, I see more.
Okay. Now, what it is? Yeah, he said, from glory to glory, from image to image. Now, you were standing in front of that picture, that mirror, the glass. But with the lights off, you didn't see anything. So when the light's on, what are you seeing? Of what? Of light. It's actually light that distinguishes you. The absence of the pigment. You know, we have black people don't reflect as well, because black does not reflect. White is a pure reflector. Black is an absorber. It doesn't reflect so much. You've all seen the old mimes, you know, mime people that would dress in black, and they might have their face painted white and their white gloves on. And in the dark, they just have a little bit of a light, and you could see the hands move, you could see the expressions on the face, but you couldn't see a body because the body was black. It didn't reflect the light, it absorbed it. Our stealth bombers are black. They're made of a material substance that absorbs, doesn't repel, doesn't reflect back. Well, he said that when we stand before the mirror of the Lord, we don't see ourselves, we see Him. Think about that outraying. It has a beginning. The beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word. And when you're standing before the mirror of the Word and you're not seeing yourself because there's no light, all of a sudden when the mirror begins to cast forth light, you begin to see yourself. And you're not really seeing yourself, you're seeing Him. That's why when He looks through the blood of Jesus Christ, He doesn't see you. He only sees the blood. And when you're walking in the light as He is in the light, you don't see yourself. You see the light. And when you look at one another, if you're looking at the faults of the person you're looking at, your eyes are not focused on the light. They're focused on the humanity. So if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And if there's only one thing that's reflecting from that person's life, look at that. Don't focus on the dark spots. Remember last week we showed you, when you look through red, at red, it appears white. Therefore, white letters on a red book, or red letters on a white book, though your sins be scarlet, the red letters on a white book, through the red you won't see them. And the more light that's exposed on that book of life, the more you'll see only purity, only righteousness, only truth. Now, I'm getting back to the masterpiece. Brother Bram said, Him, the Word, reflected in the masterpiece, in His own likeness. God back again in His own likeness. The Word form being reflected in the image of a man. The masterpiece. All the prophets had flaws. All the ones was a portion. But here at last, coming up through that finality, comes the masterpiece, the perfect one. No fault in him at all. So perfect, reflected of the builder himself, his own image, was reflected in his work. God and Christ were one, insomuch until he put his own spirit into him. And then even the image of the builder became one, God and his sculpture work, his masterpiece. Where Moses was in the work of Michelangelo, a sculpture work that was dead because it had been made out of stone. But here the master builder, when he got his handiwork perfected, he stepped into it. Notice then that he was in such perfect harmony with God that God stepped into him and reflected himself out from that body of the Son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and your illumination upon that word. And we pray, Father, that we would truly reflect your Son, Jesus Christ, and actually reflect you that was reflected through your Son. Help us, Father, not to look in the mirror at ourselves, but when we hold up the mirror of your word, let us see only that great outraying from the very source and beginning, which is you, the Word. And may we see that in our life. May we see the essence, as Brother Branham said, when we see a person in the Scripture we can identify with, that's us. When we see your Word all around us, as Brother Branham said, that man has so much of God in him that all he saw was God. May there be so much of God life in us that all we see is your word manifesting all around us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now, Father, we just commit, Lord, our journey. We thank you for this communion time. It's a time representative of when your Son gave himself, but even going back before that, when Moses and the children of Israel, we're getting forth, getting set to go forth. When the angel of death swept through, and Brother Bram said, the last plague is spiritual death. And it's setting in. This whole nation is spiritually bankrupt before they go into financial bankruptcy. But we pray, Father, that we would be rich as in heavenly places, as Paul talked about the hidden wisdom and the riches and the fullness of God. And so, Father, may we truly get ourselves out of the way, that you, Father, might have the preeminence, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Michael and Brother Ron would prepare the elements at this time. And can you hand me one of the hymnals? Do we have the hymnals here? We don't have. Do we have any in there? Any hymnals? Okay. If I can grab one. And we'll turn to number 376. Nothing but the blood.